Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Luke. As I begin with this, we started this morning at 9 o'clock studying through the Gospel of Luke. We did chapter 1 this morning, and next week we will do chapter 2. I hope that you can be there at 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall. I'm going to be reading from chapter 14 of Luke, starting in verse 25 and down to verse 33. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." You've heard me for a great number of years talk about discipleship and how important that is. In this passage, in one way, it kind of makes it a little difficult because it says some things that we probably don't want to hear. And it also says some things in a way that Jesus is not really being that diplomatic about this. He just flat out tells us what we need to hear. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that's what I need to hear. His right point to the fact. Not a long draw up, not a long, I need to sometimes just hear what Jesus is trying to say to us. You see, it's not large crowds of followers Jesus desires, but disciples. It's not large crowds of followers. You see, he has that large crowd of followers with him right here in this passage. And he's talking to them about something more. Not just being a follower. Not just being what some might say a believer. He's talking to them about a whole lot more. He says, "I desire disciples." And very simply, the word disciple means one who is willing to sit under someone else and learn from them. There were many throughout history, even way before Jesus, who had disciples. He's not the first. And a disciple was one who was willing to do what needed to be done to learn from the person that was trying to teach them, no matter what it meant. So it's not just followers, believers that Jesus wants. He wants something so much more. And before I go on to talk about that, let me talk about this. Disciples are not a higher class of spiritual walk, but what Jesus wants all believers to be. I've been around people in churches that talk about, "I just can't cut it being a disciple. That's too difficult. That's too hard." For Jesus, there's not a choice. Jesus wants you to be a disciple, not just a believer. Disciple is not an extra class of people that are willing to go an extra mile. Jesus wants everyone to be a disciple. It's not an easy task. It is difficult. It is hard. And sometimes it seems almost impossible. But what do we know about our God? Our God is a God of the impossible. If you were to come to me and to say to me, God is asking me to do something too hard. No, God's not. Not if you rely on God and walk with God. It can be accomplished. It can happen. Now, if you rely on just your own power, just your own way to do things, yes, it will be impossible. See, Jesus wants more. He wants more than just believers. In a way, believers is not good enough. It's not easy to say this next piece because I know how some of you feel about family. But Jesus says, if you don't hate your family and you don't hate yourself, you can't be my disciple. Now, I know there's lots of ways to explain this, but it's rooted in a Semitic word that actually means people who are willing to separate themselves from their family. People who are willing to make a difference by following Jesus where Jesus asked them to go. That's what it means. It's not our word hate that we have that, I know some of you here probably hate cabbage. Some of you here probably hate broccoli. Some of you probably hate somebody because of what they've done to you. This is not that word. This is a different word. This word means that you're willing to set that aside. That you're willing to set all of that aside. To follow this higher path that Jesus is calling everybody to. This is not an exclusive class. This is not a different division within the church. Jesus wants everyone to be a disciple. I've told you before, I came to Christ through the Navigator ministry. The Navigator ministry at Virginia Tech taught me all about how to be a disciple and how to lead other people to be disciples. There was no choice. If you were part of the Navigator ministry, you were part of making disciples. What does Jesus say in the Great Commission? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. As you are going, do what? Make disciples. That's the command. Make disciples. Which means you, in order to do that, you've got to learn how to be a disciple. How do you make one when you're not one? So Jesus says, if you're not willing to set aside these other relationships for a relationship with God, you can't be my disciple. Disciples separate themselves from other commitments to make God's will top priority. What song did we just sing? My hands were made to do what? Help my neighbor. My eyes were made to do what? Read God's word. My feet were made to walk in Jesus' footsteps. See, that's the exciting thing, and that's why I'm going through the gospel on Sunday mornings before worship time. we need to see how Jesus interacts in this world. We need to see how Jesus tells us to interact in this world. He is our example. He is the one. We should want to be his disciple and sit at his feet and learn from him and then take that learning out into the midst of this world to help other people. That's what it means to be a disciple. And I'm going to say it boldly once again. In Jesus' opinion, just being a believer is not enough. You've got to be a disciple. In this passage, he also talks about you've got to be willing to carry your cross. Now, let me make a comment about that, because sometimes people totally misunderstand what he's saying. As many of you know, I'm having sciatic nerve problems in my back. Wonderful problem to have. It is getting better for me, okay? I'm doing what the doctor told me to do. Surprisingly, I'm a man. I'm doing what the doctor told me to do. And it is getting better. That is not my cross to bear. Having a contemptuous person that you have to interact with is not your cross to bear. Having any kind of medical illness or sickness is not your cross to bear. Those are things that get put on you. Jesus says you got to be willing to pick up your cross and carry it. I have come to understand that picking up your cross is doing the spiritual disciplines that you need to do to grow closer to God. Reading your scriptures every day. Spending some time in prayer every day. Studying God's word for what does it say, not what you think it says. Talking to other people about Jesus Christ and helping them to grow and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ if they don't know Jesus Christ, and also helping people to be built up into disciples. Because the great commandment goes on to say what? Teach them all that I have taught you. That's not an extra class of people to do that. Every Christian should be doing that. Making disciples and teaching all that God has commanded. And I know some of you are going to tell me, well, I don't know all that God has commanded. Now it's time to pick up your cross. Use your Bible. Spend time in it. Recently did a funeral where the family allowed me to have that person's Bible for a couple of days. I was absolutely amazed what I learned about that person. By having their Bible, looking at the notes that they had taken, looking at what was underlined and highlighted, there was not a blank page in that whole Bible. Any page that was blank had something taped over it. Whether it was a poem, a devotion, whether it was words of scripture, whether it was a prayer. I learned so much about that person that I had met and that I had spent time with, but I learned so much more by sitting down and looking through their Bible. They knew exactly what problems they had because those were the verses that were highlighted. They had basically written notes to themselves that said, when you start worrying, here's where you need to turn in your Bible. Is that how well you know your Bible? For my kids, they'll have to get my digital Bible because that's where I keep all my notes. And I've gone back to using my digital Bible because some Bibles have words that are written too close to the page. If you know what I mean. With a digital Bible, I can make it big enough that I can always read it, even without my glasses. That's your cross. Are you picking it up and burying it? Are you reading your scriptures? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you listening for what God's saying so you know where Jesus wants you to walk? Folks, I grew up as a Christian learning that disciple was the only choice. There is no other. That is the only choice. Now, Jesus goes on in this passage, though, to say something that is incredibly valuable. Before committing to be a disciple, you need to count the cost. You need to count it. Can I do it? Will I be able to? And he shares two examples, that one from the lower parts of life and one from the higher parts of life. Everybody would have built a watchtower over their property. Those who had fields, those who had vineyards, that was the custom. They would have built a watchtower so that they could watch for animals, people, all kinds of things trying to steal their crops. Imagine the person that Jesus talks about that decides to build a watchtower and commences that, but then finds out they can't finish it. I know you guys are church people, so you would never talk about them, would you? Look at where they started. When I was in Petersburg years ago, I couldn't believe it when the teenage boys told me about this. There was a man in a neighborhood in Colonial Heights that was building a boat in his backyard. This was not a rowboat. This was about a 40-foot, 50-foot boat. And it was probably about 50 foot tall. And these teenage boys told me about it. And I'm like, you guys made up a story. And they said, well, drive right down this road and we'll show it to you. There was no way that guy was ever going to get it to the water. Everybody in that community talked about that man. They laughed about him being the next Noah, building a boat in his backyard. I don't think the Appomattox River will ever flood enough for that boat to float. You see, we talk about people when we see they start something, but they don't finish it. Don't we? And Jesus says, count the cost first. And then from the high end of society, he says, a king that knows an army that's coming twice his size, won't he sit down and consider, can I beat him? Or should I sue for peace? You see, you need to count the cost about being a disciple. Because I've met many people that have started that journey and never finished it. They gave up. And they gave up because, I'm willing to say, they weren't bearing their cross. They weren't spending the time in Scripture. They weren't spending time in prayer. They weren't spending their time sharing what they knew with other people about the spiritual life. And they gave up. They didn't have a close relationship with God. They gave up. You see, starting the discipleship journey and not following through is a failure seen by others. But I want to admit something else to you. Not trying to do the spiritual journey of discipleship is a failure. It is a failure if you say, that's too hard. That's too much. And sometimes I've tried to explain it to people this way. Because I have been on a journey of growing closer to God since about 1982, other than 7 years when I walked away, I have seen so many blessings. I can't count them. I can't share with you what they are. I don't even know all of them. And they have happened over and over and over again. I have seen so many blessings. If I had decided not to be a disciple, I'd have missed out on those blessings. I'd have missed out. And not only would I have missed out, but other people would have missed out. Other people would have missed blessings because I decided not to be a disciple. And when I think about it that way, how can I not continue on that journey? To not start that journey is a failure. To not continue that journey is a failure. You miss out on blessings, and the people around you miss out on blessings. And there's bound to be some people that will not come to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior because you didn't live as a disciple. I want you to think about that. Because I told you, so many times we separate this off and we say that discipleship is, that's for the special people in the church. The ones that are more deeply committed. The ones that are going further. The ones that will end up in vocational ministry as a pastor or a minister. No, it's not. That's Jesus' desire for every believer. Every believer. So I want to ask you, first think about what the cost is. And then the exciting thing is, once you figure out what the cost is, you don't have to pay it. If you have a deep and a growing relationship with God, God pays it along the way for you. But you got to pick up your cross. And yes, there are times you have to deny what you want to do for what God's asking you to do. Count the cost. I thoroughly enjoy it when I meet people that say, I'm not ready for it yet, but I'm thinking about it. And I admire them for counting the cost. Because that's what Jesus asked us to do. Count the cost. Are you going to pay what it takes? Because it's not all on God. You've got to make a commitment to do it. And you got to get up every morning making a commitment to do it. I don't know if you're like me or not. Especially now that laying down causes me the most back pain right now. So I get up every morning with the most pain that I have all day. It doesn't make me want to get up, but I know that to get up, it will feel better after I get up and move around some and do what I need to do. And when I get up in pain, it doesn't make me want to be a believer. It doesn't make me want to be a disciple, and there are some mornings it makes me not want to be a pastor. I'll just be honest with you. That happens. And I know for everybody, some mornings you get up, and some people might say it this way, I just don't want to be an adult today. Every morning you got to count the cost. Are you going to live the life that God's asking you to live? Are you going to walk in the ways that God's asking you to walk? Are you going to accept the challenge that God's put in front of you? Are you living the discipleship journey? It's not a higher class of Christian. It's a journey that every Christian is supposed to be taking. And yes, it's much more than just coming to church or attending Bible study. It's something that happens every day. And making a conscious decision to do it. Are you living the discipleship journey? Let's pray. Lord, there's so many things in this world that require our time. So many things that we add to our schedules that really don't help us to grow with you. So many things that are difficult, but we follow through on them. And Lord, the truth is you're asking us to be disciples. You're asking us to set aside our desires and live your will. And you're asking that of each and every person here today in this church, listening on Facebook or YouTube later this week. You're asking that of all of us. And sometimes we just claim that we're way too busy or the task is way too hard. But the truth is, Lord, that you don't want just followers. You want disciples. Those that will teach others. Those that will inspire others. Those that will share their spiritual journey with other people so that other people can learn how to be a disciple. Lord, help us to make the decisions that we need to make today to be your disciples. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.